जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। We will be starting the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Bhakti Yoga. Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna asks a question. Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam pariyupasate echapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittama. Those devotees who ever steadfast thus worship thee, and those also who worship the imperishable, the unmanifested, which of them are better versed in yoga? Who are the superior yogins? Always let us remember, yoga means spiritual practice, yogi means a spiritual aspirant. Simple. Why was Arjuna asking? And it is also interesting to understand. Evam satata yuktaha e bhaktaha. There are devotees who are always thinking of the Lord. They are devoted to the personal aspect of God. Vishnu, Shiva, Devi, Jesus, Buddha, whatever. As opposed to them, there are the other party. Who are they?
Impersonal.
Those who are devoted to the worship of the impersonal, nirguna, nirakara, nishkriya Brahma, aspect of Brahma. Interesting point here is it really possible to think of the impersonal? What does a person see when he wants to think of the unthinkable? Thinking of the unthinkable. What do you think he will think about it? It is unthinkable, it is unthinkable. He is thinking?
Unthinkable.
Unthinkable. Thinking of the unthinkable, is it real thinking or is it fake thinking?
Fake.
So, what it really means, we have to also understand. But one important point is, they are not the beginners, both of them. A devotee, satata yukta, always their mind is drawn as if some force is drawing them near. So also the people who are devoted to the aksharam. That is why in every language, akshara, the alphabet. Why the alphabet? Because our whole existence is dependent upon knowledge. And the basis of our knowledge is what? Alphabet. Alphabet is an instrument. So if we have to think, we think up in concrete terms. Whether we know it as a known language or an expressive language. But there must be some way to communicate it. When we are thinking, not trying to communicate, then there is no need either for the spoken or written language. But the moment we have to convey to others, then language comes into question. How can I, at least in a minimum way, express, convey my thoughts to others? But here, akshara means, kshara means that which never gets destroyed. Akshara means imperishable. Kshara means perishable. Akshara means imperishable. Truth is imperishable. Existence is imperishable. Consciousness is imperishable. So also, ananda is also imperishable. What is the question? First point is, these are not beginners. Why? Beginners, for beginners, whether a person wants to be a doctor or an engineer or a teacher, whatever, elementary school, the nursery school, the elementary school, the middle school, the high school, and the college, until college level, it is exactly the same. The parting of the ways come when a person wants to specialize in something. So why is this question raised by Arjuna? He is thinking maybe one path is superior to the other path. Was it Arjuna's question or our question? Our question. Because even now there are people who claim the path of knowledge is far superior. It is a direct path. It is a path for the strong people. Those who are weak, old, and you know, incapable, for them, okay, wheelchair path. There are some stupid people. I can only say they are so ignorant about it, that they go on wasting their whole life only in trying to establish who is superior and who is not superior. So that is a, lest this doubt should creep and destroy our sadhana, Arjuna, through the mouth of Arjuna, this question has been put. And the answer is exactly as Sri Ramakrishna would give. So Sri Ramakrishna used to say, as we all know, he who was Krishna, he who was Rama, is now reincarnated as Ramakrishna. So interesting point in this is, the devotees would be their aksharas. Exactly same devotees. Whether it was Rama's time, Krishna's time, now or Kalki's time, they will be exactly the same. Adorable devotees. With the same mind, with the same thinking, with the same problem, with the same capacity, with the same understanding, with everything exactly the same. Therefore, the questions will be the same. Therefore, the answers are also exactly the same. Those devotees who ever steadfast, means what? There is no ups and downs. They have reached a state where there is no place for doubt. There is no place for vacillation. There is no place for emotional turmoil. Steadfast. Like Swami Sharadananda. Very, very steadfast. Even Swami Vivekananda was so much impressed by him. Yeah, one Swami Vivekananda was scolding Swami Sharadananda. There was no reaction at all. Swamiji said, Sharad, I think the blood of fish is flowing in you. No reaction. So also Swami Adbhutananda wanted to disturb. You know, Swami Sharadananda, absolutely neat and clean. So, spotlessly snow-white bed sheets he used to put. One day Swami Adbhutananda entered with bare feet, dusty, dirty feet, and jumped straight onto the bed, went on using it, you know, there is a... Children play that springboard like that, went on jumping up and down. So Sharadananda was, boy, ki kocho, brother, what are you doing? I am testing by going to the West whether you have become sophisticated, meaning you have developed some ego. No, apply, no reply. That was Swami Sharadananda. These are the steadfast people. They would not deviate from their path. So, who is a greater spiritual aspirant? What should be the answer? Even common people like us, we can be confused because, I will tell you an experience. Recently, there was one lady teacher trained by Swami Dayananda Saraswati in UK. And one of our devotees happened to attend her. She was going on ranting about the only way to realize Atman is the path of knowledge. So this lady said, but what about? She simply said, don't even ask the questions. We will not even consider that question at all. It is not a question. What is the point? They think that ultimately everyone has to come to the path of knowledge only. And what was Sri Ramakrishna saying? Only very few people, and that too by the grace of the Divine Mother, they are fit for the path of knowledge. I am not talking about superiority or inferiority. I am talking about suitability, the yogyata, the fitness, whether we can really follow the path of knowledge. So Sri Ramakrishna said, Jato Mot Toto Poto, as many faiths. What do you mean by, what did Sri Ramakrishna mean by as many faiths? Does it mean to say whatever a person believes, because he believes it is right? No. We should understand it as many qualifications, so many paths. If a man is not qualified, he may believe that he is overqualified. There are people who think that I am fit for. Why? Because I can't eat, I can't digest, I can't work, I hardly have any energy left. So, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Why Jagan Mithya? Because I can't enjoy. And I can't see others enjoying it. That is why most of the people who have stomach problems, they turn to Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya to console themselves. So, what was Sri Ramakrishna's meaning of Jato Moth means what? Usually translated as many beliefs, as many faiths. There are people who really have that kind of belief. All this Bhakti Marga, Karma Marga, they are not superior paths. Are they right? No, they are not right. Then who should do? Tell them, it is God Himself will direct them in the right path if they sincerely seek. But what happened? There are two types of seeking. The Guru seeks the disciple when the disciple is ready. The disciple seeks the Guru when he thinks he is ready. That is where the problem comes. So certain things, you know, we are people born with a sense of rationality, and this is an age of reason or rationality. That means whatever appeals to my reason, I believe that is the truth, and that's a misnomer, it's a mistake, and we have to be extremely careful about it. Now, we all believe Sri Ramakrishna is the incarnation of God. Why does he preach that Bhakti Yoga is suited for this particular age? If at all anybody should know, it should be God, is it not? Then why does he emphasize, for most of us, it is the path of bhakti, culminating in Sharanagati. Sharanagati, not dhyana. What dhyana can you do?
Jnana.
Okay. What jnana means what? The jnana means knowledge. What does that knowledge mean? Oh Lord, I am weak. I am incapable, I can only take refuge in you. That is the correct knowledge. That is the knowledge we should take it as. So, why did Sri Ramakrishna, he could have easily preached the path of knowledge, because he himself had practiced, entered into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, and he could also tell, you know, I practiced all paths. Ultimately, I practiced. Now I understand this is the best path. He could have said that. What did he say? Jato Mot means what? Mot means not what you think, I think. Mot means what you are fit and what I am fit. That's how we have to understand. So, what was the Lord's reply to this? Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The Lord is replying to this possible question to many of us. Maya Vesya Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Teme Yukta Tamamataha. The Blessed Lord said, those who, fixing their mind on me, worship me ever steadfast, and endowed with supreme Shraddha, they, in my opinion, are the best version in yoga. If we read this verse in isolation, we can have a biased view. What is this view? The Lord had categorically answered Arjuna that Bhakti Marga alone is superior and Jnana Marga is not. We have to read this shloka along with the coming shloka also. So we already know the answer. What is it? The path of knowledge is much more difficult. Very few people are there who are fit for the path of knowledge. For most of us, the best path is Bhakti Marga. That is what he says. Mai avesya mano emam nitya yuktaha upasati. So, mai avesya manaha. So, keep your mind on me totally. Let your mind be immersed in me. And then nitya yuktaha, constantly. This word nitya satatam, always it comes. Tesham nitya abhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. So this word comes. When a person advances to such a state where he always remembers God, worships God, adores God, and God is the supreme for him, for such a person endowed with Shraddhaya paraya upetaha. What is the Shraddha? There is a definition of Shraddha. Shankaracharya helps us in this respect. What is Shraddha? Guru Shastra Vakyeshu Satya Buddhi Avadharana. What Guru says and what the scripture tells is absolute truth. And that is true. Because what is a scripture? The experience of a realized soul is a scripture. And a real guru, we are talking about a real guru, because so many people claim they are gurus, but they are not. They don't even know themselves, and they want to guide other people. Swami Bhaskaranandaji, he created this joke. One man, he was initiated, and he went to one of our Swamis and said, "Swami, I cannot meditate as you instructed. What shall I do?" The Swami said, "Go and write in a textbook how to meditate." A fellow who can't meditate, he would be the author of a big book on how to meditate. Is it possible? It is a joke. See, how much I have to struggle. I have to tell it. I have to announce that it is a joke. Then only I have to say it. So, Shraddha. Paraya upeta. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, something possessed me. I also, did I discuss what is the difference between belief and Shraddha? Did I? Because we use this word synonymously, I believe and I have Shraddha, faith, belief and faith, two English words. Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference. What is the difference? Belief is what we control. That means what? There is a very danger if we neglect some conditions, then that belief will slowly weaken and go away. So I challenge you, devotees. 1 month, don't do japa, don't go and bow down, don't read good books. See where your belief stands. So belief is what is controlled by our mind. What is faith? Its opposite. What is it?
It controls.
That which controls us, that is faith. So a time will come, by practicing spiritual disciplines, the mind becomes so pure, something comes and sits upon us and says, we cannot do anything, we cannot struggle against it. It will control our mind like madness controls a person. That's why every great soul, this is called conversion, this is called spiritual conversion. William James, so-called father of the modern psychology, He had written a beautiful book called Religious Experience, Varieties of Religious Experiences. In that, he gives very beautiful description of what is a conversion, spiritual conversion, three characteristics. If it is a true conversion, first of all, it is an upward movement. That means the person cannot think low things, he can think only higher things, upward movement. That is the first characteristic. Second characteristic, his whole life becomes integrated. That means there is our mind, we are not integrated persons. That is why Swami Yatheeshwarananda Maharaj, spiritual and meditation and spiritual life, there is a section, integration of personality. So our heart, our emotions, our mind, our thoughts, our speech, our actions, everything must become integrated. That is the second characteristic of true conversion. The third characteristic of this conversion is it is permanent, most important. It is not for a short time, we can all be converted. Suppose you are inspired by some Swami's speech and then you all get converted. You take a vow, from today I am going to lead only spiritual life. How long will that last? That is why this is called different types of vairagya. Smashan vairagya, market vairagya, jobless vairagya. When a person, that's what Sri Ramakrishna described, a person did not get job. So he renounced and went to Kashi. There he got a job. Immediately he writes, do not worry about me. And I'm sending some money to you right now. And at Durga Puja I will come home. Then I will bring you lot of gifts and other things. Smashan Vairagya, Prasuti Vairagya. There is one Vairagya called Prasuti Vairagya. When a woman gives birth to a baby, I heard that too. I understand it's very painful. No more children, I will not go to my husband. How long? How many days? Yeah. So this is what happens when a person is converted. It is permanent. So three characteristics. Upward, integration of personality, and it is permanent. That is what happens when a person is possessed by Shraddha. Always it is an upward movement, and Shraddha integrates the personality, and it is permanent because it controls us. Whereas belief, what happens when your health is good, when the climate is good, when things are going on well, we may think that we are devoted to God. Let a little difficulty, unhappiness, tragedy, or even cloudy weather. Yes? We do not understand how much the sun controls, the sun and the moon control our body and mind. That is why the word lunatic comes from the word lunar. That is why new moon day, full moon day, you observe certain people's behaviors. Yes. So how much our bodies are controlled by these planets, movements, etc. That's why one Swami, beautifully he said, the whole ocean water is rising up. Do you think that our body, which contains how much water, 70% of the water, do you think it is not affected? It will be affected. Yeah. So, the Blessed Lord says, those who fixing their minds on me, he's talking about bhaktas, devotees, worship me, but ever steadfast and endowed with supreme shraddha. What do these four qualities? Fixing their mind on me, worship me, ever steadfast and endowed with supreme shraddha. These are the characteristics of a person who is totally, really converted to spiritual life. So such a person, in my opinion, is the best verset in yoga. Now, what does the Lord mean? Is he partial? Is it biased opinion? No. What he is telling is, this is the most suitable path for most of us. Because for most of us, we are emotional people. So emotion means devotion. Emotion directed towards God is called devotion. The same devotion directed towards the worldly objects is called emotion. Why do we call it emotion? Can you understand why it is? Because our mind also is changing. That is the common factor with both towards God and toward worldly object. But the difference is, worldly objects constantly change, whereas God is called Akshara. He never changes. Therefore, our mind also becomes steadfastly devoted to God. That is why no worldly object can influence us forever, only for a short time. Then, what about the people who are devoted? Because there are people. Sri Ramakrishna mentions about these people in the Gospel. The ancient rishis in the olden days, they used to get up at 3 o'clock and then they go far away from their huts. And the whole day they are meditating on the impersonal, imperishable Brahma. Then late at night they come back, take some fruits and roots, have little rest. Day after day, this devotion is going on. There are people, but very few people. They were fit. But even then, what do you think they are thinking? We don't know. We don't have any guess, because our guess is already conditioned by what our mind is. You know, nama, rupa, guna. It doesn't go any further than that. That is why Swami Brahmananda used to say, you want to meditate on Nirakara Brahma? What at best what comes to your mind? A huge ocean or the akasha, space. That is all that comes to you. Is akasha sakara or nirakara? Is the ocean sakara or nirakara? It is nothing but sakara. You just go and observe the ocean. At least the ordinary lake is much better. The ocean is constantly churned by huge waves and other things. But the idea is there, if you go a little bit deeper, then there is a rock solid steadfastness in the water. That is what real ocean really means. The Ramakrishna also gives to M because he was inclined to worship Nirakara. Then Sri Ramakrishna gives. He takes him one day to one pond, big pond. Says, you see how the fish are joyfully swimming in that lake, in the pond. So that should be a hint for your Nirakara meditation. Don't try it. Yeah. These consequences will be disastrous. Do you follow what I am saying about? If already you are attached to fish. No. You are trying to meditate on fish joyfully swimming. What do you think the consequences will be?
Etvaksharamanetdesyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragamachintyancha kutastamachalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te praapnuvanti mameva sarvabhutahite rataha.
But those also who worship the imperishable, the indefinable, the unmanifested, the omnipresent, the unthinkable, the unchangeable, the immovable, the eternal. Having subdued all the senses, even-minded everywhere, engaged in the welfare of all beings, verily they reach only myself. So they are also reach myself. The devotees also reach myself. Both reach God only. Then why is the Lord saying yoga vittamaha? Why is he specially qualifying and say the devotees are superior? No, he is not saying superior. That is the best path. The path of devotion is best path, not superior path. What is the difference between best path and superior path?
Suitability.
That which is suitable for each one of us, that is the best path, that is the easiest path, that is the superior path. But not intellectually thinking that mine is superior. It is the superior because it is suitable for me. That is what they tell. How many qualifications? Those who worship the imperishable. Those who worship the indefinable. Those who worship the unmanifested. Those who worship the omnipresent. Those who worship the unthinkable, the unchangeable, the immovable, the eternal. Has he come to an end? No. Having subdued all the senses. How many senses have you subdued?
Five.
Not even one.
Zero.
Because I am talking since about half an hour. You don't even understand a joke. Even-minded. That's a very important word. This is one of the definitions of yoga. Samatvam yoga vichyate. In the Bhagavad Gita, three important definitions of yoga are given. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga is dexterity in any activity. Samatvam yoga vichyate. The third definition is
samyoga.
Dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga vichyate. Even when there is the greatest suffering, even then the mind remains unruffled, steadfast, serene, peaceful. Only a yogi can keep the mind in that way. In these three definitions, this samatvam is a very beautiful definition. Keep the mind. Does it mean that we don't feel, or does it mean that we feel, we experience, but we do not emotionally react? So in the second chapter, there is a beautiful verse. Sukha dukhe samay kritva labha labhau jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsasi. O Arjuna, there is a technique of how to kill others, fight the battle. Fight the battle means what? You do your best to kill. There is that to the, what is called peace ambassadorism. That is all failed. What is left out? To kill each other. Whoever wins, he would be the victor. So three words are used. Sukha dukkha, labha labha, and jaya and apajaya. Why the Lord has used three particular words? Very important. These three words have to be understood working at three different levels. What are the three different levels? Jaya and apajaya is what happens at the external physical level. Either you win or you lose. As soon as we experience any particular event, there would be a correspondent mental thought. Without this thought, we will not know what is experience. Experience means what? Two things. There is an event, there is a corresponding knowledge about it. Are you clear about this point? If you see, here is a flower vase. The flower vase may be there. But if there is no corresponding thought in mind, then does this flower vase exist for you or doesn't exist for you?
Doesn't exist.
That's what happens in deep sleep. That is what happens many times. We don't take notice. We don't hear what the other person is saying. That's what is happening in my class right now. So, Jaya and Apajaya on the external level. Oh, I got victory. Oh, I have been defeated. This is the thought process. So that is what is called labha and alabha. I gained or I have lost. Calculation. This is a mental thought. No problem. Because that corresponds to the experience. The problem comes, I am happy because I gained. Am I unhappy? And I lost. That is called sukha and dukkha. At what level is this happening? Emotional level. So, external level, thought level, and emotional level. We have no control over the first two because events would happen and corresponding thought also will happen. But we have control over, we should have control over the
emotion.
Our bondage belongs to which level?
Emotional.
Only emotional level. That is why when we say this bondage, both bondage and liberation are in the mind. They are at what level?
Emotional level.
And that is where our problem comes. That creates raga and dvesha. And raga and dvesha creates what? First comes sukha dukkha, then comes raga and dvesha, and that creates samsara. Because we try to go towards things which produce happiness for us and we try to run away instinctively, 24 hours. This is what we are doing. 24 hours you are doing. Just now also you are doing it. What are you doing? I am sitting like this. After few minutes, I put like this. What did I do? Because this was not comfortable. What did I do? This is comfortable. I am changing constantly. And this is instinctively. Am I thinking too much and doing it? Automatically, like a machine, I am doing it. So whether we are sitting, we are standing, we are even sleeping also. So you sleep in some particular way and it's not comfortable. What do you do?
Yes.
Automatically you turn to the other side. Everything, in food also, you go on seeing, observe which item you have taken more. Why did you take more, one item? Why did you assiduously avoided the other item? Why? Because past experience creates, you know, this is a very tasty dish. This is not so tasty. If there is no choice, of course, you know, we all become Sharanagata. resigned to our fate. Yeah, this is the truth. But what is yoga? Now, consciously, we cannot control external events, nor can we control the corresponding thought level. Because this is the moment you observe an event, that event, that very act of observation has already created the thought.
Yes.
But we can stop and say, oh, that is a thought. Okay, that is okay. Do not respond to it. But what does that mean? Will you become a stone? Will you become a clod of earth? That you don't respond at all? Is that what it means, emotional response? No. What it means is, I'm a human being. I would respond. But there is something you say, okay, this is okay, that is also okay. That's why Sri Ramakrishna, good examples, you know, he wanted to eat sandesh. What did he do? He got the best sandesh. Don't try it with bad sandesh. Try it with the best sandesh. Started moving it from one corner of the mouth to the other. Oh, mind, this is called sandesh. People get so attached to it. So what is there? It is also made up of the same five elements like anything else. With that process, never again a desire arose to eat sandesh again. But be careful. It doesn't mean if someone brings with devotion some sandesh, he refuses to eat it. No. And he doesn't also refuse to enjoy it. But he refuses to be attached to it. And he says, if it is available, offer it to mother and eat as prasad. If it is not available, fine. That is called emotional balance. That is called emotional intelligence. So this is what the Lord is telling here. Subdued all this, even minded everywhere, but at the same time, engaged in the welfare of all beings. Most of the so-called, what is called followers of knowledge, they refuse to do anything with this world. What is their take on the world? Jagat?
Mithya.
Mithya. Oh, if somebody is suffering, that is all a delusion. Nobody is suffering. Brahman doesn't suffer. Atman doesn't suffer. That is what Swami Vivekananda wanted to remove and say. If you really are progressing in spiritual life, then you will feel for everybody. So you will help other people as much as you can. But you won't be swept away by emotions. What happens? If we are swept away by emotions, we become individuals. Means what? We will be confined to a narrow strip. Only this much, only these number of people, these number of objects. That is not impersonal. What is impersonal? You get out of personality. The very English word personality, individual, means what? Undividable. But we do all the divisions. Great, small, white, black. Jung had divided all the people into four ethnic categories. Do you know that? The white, the black, the brown and the yellow. White people, white skinned people. Then the black people, you know, African origin, etc. The brown people, Asians, Indians, Sri Lankans, Pakistanis, browns. Yeah. And then the Japanese and the Chinese, that's what the yellow. And each one has got racial characteristics. That's why he said his ethnic characteristics. And he gave a lot of things. I'm not going to into it. But what is the point? We divide by country, by race, by religion, by color, by job. All these things is what we are becoming smaller. Our personalities become narrower, still narrower, still narrower, still narrower. How can such a person worship the impersonal? Impersonal means that which is manifest everywhere. And it is the only thing that manifests. If a person is a real worshipper of the impersonal, the first thing he recognizes is existence. Brahman as what?
Sat.
Existence. So everything is existing is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. So reduce everything to existence. That is the first sadhana. What do we do? The first thing that we do is divide the whole creation into two. Living and non-living. And the living we divide it into, this is human beings, this is birds, this is plants, and this is insects, etc., etc. These human beings we divide into the white, the black, the brown, and the yellow. And then we divide them, Hindus, Christians, and the Muslims, Buddhists, etc. Then we divide by the state. You know, this is Uttar Pradesh, this is Madhya Pradesh, and this is Bihar, and this is South India, Andhra Pradesh. Andhra Pradesh again divided into... Telangana and Andhra. and then the districts. This is Guntur, this is Kakinada, this is Rajahmundry, etc., etc. And then we divide the same town into this pada and that pada. Like that, you know. Everything. Then this caste, Brahmins, non-Brahmins, etc. Everything is going, even parties. This is, you know, Republican Party, this is Democratic Party. Where is unity? There is unity. If we search, there is unity. On knowledge level, all scientists, they are belong to one group. All artists belong to one group. Sri Ramakrishna also made a division, but very broad division. What is it? The whole humanity can be divided into two castes. What are they? Devotees and non-devotees. What does he mean by devotees? Does he mean bhaktas? No. Every spiritual aspirant belongs to the devotee group. Whether he is following the path of devotion or following the path of the
knowledge,
whatever it is. So, how many qualifications? What does the Lord want to say? But those also, verily, they reach only myself. They can't go anywhere. Because wherever you go, you are facing only God, nothing else. Provided they fulfill all these qualities, then they also are reaching God only. Then, why are you saying then devotion is better than path of knowledge? Why are you saying it? That question may come. This is called Vyasa Paddhati. Klesho dhikarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavadhi avapyate. Greater is their trouble whose minds are set on the unmanifested. For the goal of the unmanifested is very hard for the embodied to reach. For those who think, I am the body, how could he meditate on, I am bodiless? Is it possible? Even intellectually it is not possible. Even those who think, I am a man or I am a woman, this gender, we are identified deeply with gender. We cannot think, a woman cannot think, I am a man. And a man cannot think, I am a woman. And they cannot even think in terms of the other person. That is to say, this person is male and he is not female. Therefore, his thinking would be like this. That even they cannot imagine. So, whatever I have tapatinu kundele, mood called. Whatever rabbit I have caught, it got only three legs. That means stubborn, fanatical. This is what we are experiencing. Why can't the other person understand? I am the most reasonable person on earth. The other person is most irrational person. Why can't he understand that I am rational? This is our problem, is it not? That is where differences of opinions are coming. That is where quarrels are coming. That is where world wars are also taking place and might take place also. So, what is the Lord saying? No, I am not saying Bhakti Marga is superior and the path of knowledge is inferior. What I am saying is the path of devotion is easier compared to the path of knowledge. That is what Sri Ramakrishna also said. Very few people are fit for the path of knowledge. What about Swami Vivekananda? In the beginning, he resisted. It is blasphemy to say that I am God. That's why Sri Ramakrishna slowly has to turn his mind from the impersonal to the personal, from the personal to the impersonal. Very fascinating history. Where from Swami Vivekananda come?
Akhanda.
From the Akhanda Rajya, indivisible. And those who are meditating there, are they worshippers of knowledge or worshippers of devotion or God?
Knowledge.
They are worshippers of both. That is why they are not liberated souls, they are not bound souls. That is why they are specifically fitted to do good to the world. But they were dhyanamagnas. That is why, as soon as Narendranath, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, he is born perfect in meditation. But what meditation? He wants to be merged in meditation. Sri Ramakrishna's whole sadhana is only for this. You know what is it? Narendra sadhana. How to make Narendra, the rishi, a lover of humanity. So he poured his heart and soul just to convert his view. And this took place in two stages. What was the first stage? He was a member of the Brahmo Samaj. And he says, Nirakar. What was Sri Ramakrishna's take on Brahmo members meditating on the Nirakar? Even a small child of Brahmo is meditating on Nirakara Brahma. Sri Ramakrishna used to make fun. Do you think a child can meditate on Brahma? What about the other fellows, grown-up fellows? Sri Ramakrishna's fun is super, very subtle, difficult to understand. He says, one day, either Keshav Chandra Sen or somebody. So he said, let us all dive deep into the ocean of Satchidananda. Sri Ramakrishna was very mischievous. He looked at the woman. So what is going to happen to them? This, all the husbands dive deep. No problem for Andhra people. Andharu kattu kattu koni Sri Ramakrishna was observing, are you fit to think of God in the impersonal aspect? No, you are not fit. That's why he refused to say, you are not the followers of the path of knowledge, you are bhaktas. But doesn't mean bhaktas have to worship only image. Because there are devotees who need not worship images. But they can worship saguna upasakas. There is a subtle distinction between sarupa upsakar upasakas and saguna upasakas. You are Muslims. What form they worship? There is no form. But they are sagunopasaka. They are not nirakaropasaka. They are sagunopasaka. 1,000 qualities of Allah. That is what you are, daya maya, you are kripa maya, we are all, you are a wonderful master, etc., etc., etc. They cannot meditate. It is impossible. And that is not nirakara nirguna upasana. It is nirakara saguna upasana. That also falls under which category? Bhakti only, not knowledge. The person who is qualified to meditate upon Sat, Chit and Ananda, that person is really speaking, meditating, trying to meditate on the Akshara, Avyakta. That is what the Lord means to say. For those who think I am the body, that is called Dehavadvihi, Kleshaha Adhikataraha, is very difficult. It's possible, but very difficult to think of the Avyakta. Greater is their trouble, whose minds are set on the unmanifested. For the goal of the unmanifested is very hard for the embodied beings to reach. But then, what is the way? Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananye naivar yogena maam dhyayanta upasate teshamaham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagara bhavami nachirat partha maya beshita chetasam. But those who worship me, resigning all actions in me, regarding me as the supreme goal, meditating on me with single-minded yoga, to these whose mind is set on me, verily, I become here alone, O son of Pritha Partha, the savior out of the ocean of the mortal samsara. So the Lord is telling, this is the description of the path of bhakti, devotion. What is sarvani karmani mai sanyasya? Remember? Mat krit, mat karma, krit. Then mat paramaha, mat bhaktaha, sangha varjitaha, Nirvairaha Sarvabhuteshu. Yesterday also we discussed. Today morning also a bit we discussed. That is what he is elaborating here. Those who worship me, how? Resigning all actions in me. What does that mean? Resigning all actions, what does it mean? That means, you see, whenever we do any particular action, we have a result in mind. If I eat this one, then I will enjoy this. If I work this job, then I will be a happy person. If I go to this place, I will enjoy. Every action has got a particular goal. Whereas a bhakta, whatever actions he does, he has only one goal. What is it? How can I please God? That is the meaning of saying that those resigning all actions in me. Resigning means what? Not giving up. I will do them with even more concentration in the correct way possible. So bhakti is also necessary, but at the same time alertness, concentration is also necessary. Most of our devotees are endowed with devotion but not with concentration and discipline. That is why when some people prepare payasam, it will be, the sugar will be this much, the milk will be this much. The milk will be this much, the rice will be this much. And that each dana of the rice also is as thick as my thumb. So much bhakti gadgada. They come and tell me, I myself cooked for you, Swamiji. Oh, how did you cook? All the time I am thinking about mother only. I said, think less of the mother, think more of me. What is going to be my fate if I eat what you cook? I am not joking. Everything has got, you see, if it is a person who is really devoted, his only aim would be, in what best way I can make it so that my beloved person will be a happy person. That should be the, that means what? Your goal should be to make this person happy. Forget about that person. Now focus upon what you are going to do. You know, I joke a lot of times, you know. One Swami wanted to drive me. And he drove me from place A to place B. But his devotees wanted my certificate. How wonderful this person, this Swami's driving was. So they asked me, what's my opinion about this Swami's driving? I said, I have rarely met another great spiritual person than him. The moment he started the car, my mind is constantly remembering only Swami. This is a great lesson for us to learn. Resign means our goal should be to please the Lord. There is a beautiful incident. One day Holy Mother visited Belur Math. Early morning she was going round. She found many monks and brahmins. Even now that is the custom. In the dining hall, there is an open veranda. And before lunch, this is before breakfast, all the vegetables had to be dressed. Huge quantity. You know, every day how many people take prasada in Belur Math? Nearly 700 people in those days. Now I heard it could be more than 1,000 regular. Special occasions different. These monks and brahmacharis were dressing. Holy Mother looked highly pleased. She said, wow, my children are dressing vegetables very nicely. Swami Jagadatmananda was one of them. And he remarked, Mother, whether dressing vegetables or by meditation or by serving poor people or by doing meditation on Sravana Manana Nidhyas, our only goal is to please the Divine Mother. Yes. So that should be the goal. Whatever action, ultimate goal is to please the Divine, God, Divine Mother, whatever it is. That's what he said. That is mean the meaning of resignation. So, regarding me as the supreme goal. That means what? Not only knowledge-wise recognizing he is the supreme, but also desiring emotionally that I want only you. What is the meaning of this? We all know God is the supreme, isn't it? Don't we know? But is he our supreme goal? He is not. There are many other things are there. So many things are there. He doesn't even come, at the middle. He comes only at the very bottom. If all these things are done, then God has a place. Until that time, this is the truth. We have to accept it. So, he is telling, regarding me as the Supreme Goal, meditating on me with single-minded yoga. We have to practice. One day it will come. To these whose mind is set on me, verily, what does he become? What is the result? And I become their liberator. And when we fulfill these conditions, very soon. So what do I do? Here along, O Arjuna, I become the savior. What does that mean? I lift them from the ocean of the mortal samsara. From the limited to the unlimited. From the ephemeral to the eternal. This is what I do. In other words, I will give them liberation. In other words, I will give them that knowledge that you are Paramatma and you are me, I am you. This is the very important verse because when he says, bhaktas who are endowed with these qualities are the best yogins. This is what he means. They depend upon me, they do everything for me, and very soon I become gracious to them. I give them moksha. After all, those who tread the path of knowledge, what do they want?
Moksha.
They also want moksha only. But that's a difficult path. Because first of all, very difficult to resign oneself to the imperishable. Because the imperishable doesn't have eyes to see, doesn't have ears, doesn't have nose to smell, doesn't have the mind to think. He doesn't even recognize, here is a fellow who is thinking about me. Because it doesn't have a mind. Is it true? No. Who is working through that mind? It is he only who is working through that mind. It is a very difficult path. That is why Sri Ramakrishna says, the path of bhakti, especially as prescribed by
Narada.
And is it so easy to follow the path of prescribed by Narada? Very difficult. That's what I think we are going to discuss in the morning sessions. Evening sessions we will continue until we finish it. So today I will stop here. What is the essence? Arjuna asked a question, which yogi is superior? He who follows Bhakti Yoga or he follows Jnana Yoga? What was the Lord's answer? That he who follows the path of devotion, I think, is the best yogi. Why does he say? Does it mean to say that he is thinking the path of knowledge is inferior? No. Yes, it is very difficult for people to proceed, to progress in spiritual life following the path of knowledge. For those who are endowed with devotion, with Shraddha, dedicate all their actions to me and ultimately surrender themselves to me, very soon I bestow my grace in the form of liberation, mukti. In that sense, the devotees will have an easier time, not easiest time, but compared to the those who tread the path of knowledge, a little bit easier. Why is it easier? Because we are fit only for that. This is what we have discussed. Now, is it easy to become a devotee and resign ourselves to him?
No.
We have to develop so many qualities. That also we will discuss. But here what he is telling is that you will have to keep your mind on me. You will have to determine that I am the Supreme Goal. I will just read out and I will close my talk. Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya నివసిష్యసి మయ్యేవ అథ బోధం న సంశయ. ఫిక్స్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఆన్ మీ ఓన్లీ, ప్లేస్ యువర్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఇన్ మీ, దెన్ యూ విల్ నో డౌట్ లివ్ ఇన్ మీ హియర్ ఆఫ్టర్. వీ విల్ డిస్కస్ దిస్ టుమారో. ఓం వసుదేవ సుతం దేవం కంసచానోరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురు.